ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 85 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स वसुदेव टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। प्राणादीनां विश्वसृजां शक्तयो याः परस्य ताः पारतन्त्र्याद् वैसादृश्याद् द्वयोश्चेष्टैव चेष्टताम् प्राणादीनां विश्वसृजाम् शक्तयो याः परस्य ताः पारतन्त्र्याद् वैसादृश्याद् द्वयोश्चेष्टैव चेष्टताम् प्राणादीनां विश्वसृजा शक्तयो याः परस्य ताः पारतन्त्र्याद् वैसादृश्याद् द्वयोश्चेष्टैव चेष्टताम् प्राणादीनां विश्वसृजाम् शक्तयो याः परस्य ताः पारतन्त्र्याद् वैसादृश्याद् द्वयोश्चेष्टैव चेष्टताम्
माताजी
prana of the life air, adinam, and so on, vishwa of the universe, srujam, the creative factors, shaktayah, potencies, yah, which, parasya, belonging to the Supreme, taha, they, paratantryat, because of being dependent, vaisadrishyat, because of being different, dvayoha, of both, living and non-living manifestations in the material world, cheshta, the activity, eva, merely, cheshtatam, of those entities, namely prana and so on, that are active. Translation: whatever potencies the life air and other elements of universal creation exhibit are actually all personal energies of the Supreme Lord. For both life and matter are subordinate to Him and dependent on Him, and also different from one another. Thus everything active in the material world is set into motion by the Supreme Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Prana is the vital air of life, a more subtle element than the ordinary air we can touch. And because prana is so subtle, finer than the tangible manifestations of creation, it is sometimes considered the ultimate source of everything. But even subtle energies such as prana depend for their functional capacity on the supremely subtle Paramatma. That is the idea Vasudev expresses here by the word paratantrayat, because of dependence. Just as the velocity of an arrow is derived from the strength of the bowman who shoots it, so all subordinate energies depend on the power of the Supreme Lord. Furthermore, even when various subtle causes have been empowered with their capacity to act, they cannot act in concert without the super soul's coordinating direction. As Lord Brahma states in his description of creation in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, yadete sangata bhava bhutendriya mano gunah yada yatana nirmane na shekur brahma vittama tada samhatya chanyonyam bhagavat shakti choditah sat asattvam upadaya cho bhayam sashrijur hyada. O Narada, best of the transcendentalists, the forms of the body cannot manifest as long as these created parts, namely the elements, senses, mind and modes of nature, are not assembled. Thus, when all these become assembled by the force of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this universe certainly came into being by accepting both the primary and secondary causes of creation. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.32-33. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunvilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Vanchakalpataru Bhyaschakripasindhu Bhyayvacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा। सो इन द लास्ट चैप्टर द सेजेस हैव इंस्ट्रक्टेड वसुदेव एंड हैविंग अंडरस्टूड द सुप्रीम पोजिशन ऑफ कृष्ण एंड बलराम फ्रॉम द माउथ ऑफ द सेजेस, both Vasudev and Devaki in this chapter are going to seek blessings from Krishna and Balaram. So, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find in these chapters, there is again the emphasis on understanding Krishna and Krishna's energies. In the next chapter, there would be Krishna kidnapping Subhadra, and after that, it will be the prayers of the personified Vedas. So, many times, the material mind, which is trained or which is always looking for a higher position in life, would wonder as to why so much of emphasis on knowledge is there in the 10th canto. The material mind would simply want to be engrossed or completely immersed in thinking about the divine transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Now, from the absolute point of view, this is very good for the material mind. But as the saying goes, that if the constitution is not proper, then one must be careful with things that are pure. Constitutionally, if the stomach is not capable to digest pure ghee, then one must try and take a little diluted ghee or in less quantities. Or if one can tolerate the experience of increased number of trips to the bathroom, then one can still go on drinking pure ghee, because the nature of pure ghee is that something always sticks. So there are two ways. One is we have an overdose of that which is very concentrated or pure, but then we have to tolerate the experience of our constitution, a weak constitution trying to absorb that which is very pure. So that experience is very, very painful. Let me give you an example. Even from the material point of view, there are illustrations in the scriptures about personalities like Hiranyakashipu, personalities like Srimad Valmiki Muni. Both of them had different goals in mind. One was trying to, under the instructions of Narad Muni, trying to realize the Supreme, because wanted to become free from the stress of going to the hellish planets and suffering so much of reactions. That was Valmiki Muni, and Hiranyakashipu was trying to achieve immortality in a perverted way. So, They both took on very severe kind of austerities. And the body was eaten away by, the bodily elements were all destroyed, and they had to tolerate all of that pain and suffering. Or in the case of advanced devotees, many a times, many of the devotees in their lives, they find that they have to tolerate a lot of criticism, they have to tolerate a lot of envy, misunderstandings. Sometimes even physically, they went through a lot of pain and suffering. But they were focused on, they never gave up. The shelter of Krishna or Krishna's holy names. Like Thakur Haridas was practically offered that your pain can stop right now if you simply give up chanting Krishna's names. And he couldn't. And they had to go through so much tribulations. So that is one way. The other way is, if that is not there, then one has to make one's constitution strong. Both ways a constitution becomes strong. One is through so many, by taking on that complete essence of purity, slowly something or the other sticks and the constitution becomes strong. Or on the other hand, one can use the tools of knowledge that one has. One can understand rules, regulations, one can follow discipline, one can train the mind through scriptural understandings, train the mind through meditation, and slowly the constitution of the mind, the constitution of senses becomes strong. And then there is dharan, then one can hold on to Krishna's pastimes. Srila Prabhupada would give an example of a washerman who had a wife. His wife's name was Radha. And he would always, when anyone would speak about the glories of Radha Rani, he would say, "Oh, my Radha, I can shout at her at any time I want." So the name was chanted by him, but his mind, his consciousness could not hold on to the divinity of the name. So the name then became very, very material, or the effect of the holy name of Srimati Radharani was very material. And consequently, his mind became so polluted that he could not understand the divinity of Srimati Radharani or Srimati Radharani's name. He equated that to his experience of his wife being Radha. So, both the paths are available. Many of the practitioners of any siddhanta, of any spiritual philosophy, they find it helpful to apply knowledge in their path of self-realization. Even when they understand transcendental subject matters, they use the tools of knowledge. And hence we find that even when Krishna was giving the knowledge of the Gita to Arjuna, 13th chapter onwards, he again gives him tools of jnana to be used. But now these tools are not similar to the ordinary, you know, when one is not aware of the transcendental nature of Krishna, one has not heard from sources, bona fide sources, then when one hears from bona fide sources, then the tools of knowledge are really helpful. The knowledge helps us understand Krishna, it helps us understand Krishna's greatness, it helps us feel grateful to all that Krishna is providing in terms of his energies. And not only that, it helps us see the beauty in the creation, Krishna's hand. So, here Vasudevji is describing Krishna. He's actually offering prayers to Krishna. And it seems a little odd that Krishna is a son, And considering Krishna to be his son, Vasudev ji at one point of time had arranged for Krishna to go to school, to Gurukul. And Krishna came back trained in 64 days. And Vasudev ji thought that I have done my duty. And now he has gone to Kurukshetra because there are so many traditions that have to be followed. And the experience that the Yadus headed by Vasudev and Devaki have, when they see the intimate relationship of Krishna and the Brajavasis. Interestingly, Vasudev ji here, he is requesting Krishna to bless him through the understanding that Krishna is the source of all incarnation, is the source of all creation, he is a controller of everything, everything manifests from him. So here he is explaining, and yesterday he explained about how Krishna as a Paramatma is the very essence of existence in this material creation. And today he is making that point further by saying that many a times people consider the subtle aspects of existence to be the cause of all causes. Like prana is very subtle. And even this prana or life force, the life energy, that is functional only because of the sanction of the Paramatma. It is the Paramatma who sanctions it. In the second canto, where the process of creation is described in great detail, the fourth chapter is describing the process of creation, and in the fourth chapter there are three or four points that Srila Prabhupada makes in his purport. Bhuya eva vivitsami bhagavan atma mayaya yathedam srijate vishvam durvibhavyam adhishvaraihi. Translation, this is the sixth verse. I beg to know from you how the personality of Godhead by his personal energies creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods. So in the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada writes, Maharaj Parikshit did not ask his spiritual master Sukhdev Goswami to narrate Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. He wanted to hear first about the creation of the Lord. Sukhdev Goswami did not say that the king should hear about the direct transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Time was very short, and naturally Sukhdev Goswami could have gone directly to the 10th canto to make a shortcut of the whole thing, as generally done by the professional reciters. But neither the king nor the great speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam jumped up like the organizers of Bhagavatam. Both of them proceeded systematically so that both future readers and hearers might take lessons from the example of the procedure of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada is, obviously this is the second canto, we are now in the tenth canto, so again the mind can make its calculations and say, alright, systematically we have also gone over the period of 7 years or 8 years through every shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam, through every chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, now we are in the tenth canto. So we are following the process, we are following the system that is there. The system to be working can be judged from the result. Now if at the end of a study of Srimad Bhagavatam, by the time we conclude the 12th canto, we are ready to wait for whatever happens depending totally on Krishna, then the Srimad Bhagavatam study has been successful. On the other hand, if the Srimad Bhagavatam study has been done so that we have finished Srimad Bhagavatam at least once in a lifetime, or if it is done so that we can go to some other literature now, then the mood that is necessary to imbibe the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that mood does not gel with the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The mood of acceptance of Krishna and wanting to seek his mercy is what helps digest the hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if after hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, we would like to again go back to the Srimad Bhagavatam and read it. If by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the intense desire to again go back, that could be one clue. Not necessarily it is the only clue. But that is a very, very powerful clue that most probably we have imbibed the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam to a certain extent. The very prominent example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes when he would hear especially the narration of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruv Maharaj from Gadadhar Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would become so excited and he would become so enthused, he would be so happy, he would be in such ecstasy that he would want Gadadhar to repeat that once more and repeat that once more. And sometimes just to explain the intensity of the emotions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having on hearing this wonderful narration from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that he would want it to be repeated 100 times. So, when would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do his bhakti vaibhav? If it is like 100 times repetition. In this Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, when he is making his commentary to this verse, I think to this verse or maybe within this chapter, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that it is very important to hear about creation again and again and again. Because when we hear about creation and we actually understand how massive this creation is, like even today, if somebody goes to Dubai and they look at that tall tower, what is it called as? Burj Khalifa? Burj? Something like that? Oh! One is amazed. I know, the first time when the ceiling was built, so many times, many of my acquaintances that I knew would actually want to just go and see it. The ceiling. When people go to, like when I was for many years ago, for the first time I went to America, they said, would you like to go to the Niagara Falls? So this Virata form, this huge form or huge manifestations in this creation makes us, invokes within us awe and reverence. And not only that, if one is sufficiently educated and one has understanding of what the creation is all about, like for somebody who is from the engineering background, especially civil engineering, and that person sees that creation, sees the Burj Khalifa, or he sees another, you know, big tower like the Freedom Tower in New York, or any such creation. In Jaipur, when you go, you want to see the Jantar Mantar. Till today, it is a huge attraction. Jai Singh II built it. The astrological clock system there. Astronomy also. For those who have some understanding what goes behind having this thing built, they want to know more about the engineer, they want to know more about the process, they want to understand how many years it took to build that thing. They want to go deep into it. So similarly, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he says that if we can understand what creation is, then we want to know more about Krishna, we want to know how many years it took for Krishna to come forth with this creation. What does it mean that, you know, one kalpa is how long? So those days just don't become statistics that we write down, but actually they become very attractive. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that when one is attracted by the greatness of God, then one does not take Krishna cheaply. Or in other words, one does not take Krishna like Krishna's playing the flute from a very substandard material platform. In Radhakund, many years ago, or let me give you another example. 94, recently I was with another friend, a devotee, and we were having some discussions. In 94 we had gone for the Vrindavan Yatra. We were sharing the same room. We were just very excited, Vrindavan. We landed in Vrindavan in the middle of the night, really at 10 o'clock. And the buses were, everything was beautiful, ecstatic. The dust of Vrindavan, Fogla Ashram, the river Jamuna, the cows, the pigs. Everything was like a new world. Now today, going to Vrindavan, we most probably we go with certain agenda, like we want to visit so many temples, we want to take so many people around, or we want to finish chanting 1008 rounds. And but there was that novelty then. And Radhanath Maharaj was taking us on a tour, and we were in this beautiful place in the fields, only barren fields around because the cultivation was done with. The sun was really beating hard, and a few trees. And this was the afternoon time, so we were taking rest under some trees. So this devotee friend, he said, "Rohini Priya, what are you thinking?" And I mentioned something. I tried to reply, and he said, "Be very careful about what you think, because we are under a Kalpavriksha tree." Many years later on, I understood the gravity of those words. Sometimes we make prayers in Vrindavan, they come out to be true. And many times those prayers are about purification. We pray in Mayapur, we pray in Vrindavan, we pray in front of the deities, we pray in the temple, in front of Radha Gopina, in front of Srila Prabhupada on his appearance day, and it is about purification. Please, Srila Prabhupada, a general statement would be, please, so and so. Please purify me from this and this. And when the purification comes, it is very intense. And if you, please believe me when I say that some of the devotees share that now they are careful making prayers. They pray according to what would be possible for them to tolerate. So when we speak about Krishna playing the flute, it should be from the platform of understanding how great Krishna is. Because from his flute, the fifth note that comes out is the source of this entire creation. Just that sound vibration that comes out is the source of this entire creation. Srila Radhanath Maharaj is saying that the same lips that Krishna uses to blow into the flute, with the same lips he speaks the Bhagavad Gita. It's the same vibration. But then, the substandard, or let us say the below standard existence of a material mind from the point of view of the absolute realm, could take such things very cheaply. So there has to be balance. The balance has to be that we must hear about bodhayanta parasparam. We should hear about about the subject matters of Krishna's esoteric, exotic or internal pastimes amongst like-minded devotees. The best would be to hear it from in the association of great devotees. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada is saying, that as soon as Shukadev Goswami heard that Parikshit Maharaj has given up his kingdom and is coming to the banks of the Ganga, he thought that I must go and speak to Parikshit Maharaj about the topics of Krishna. And when Vyasadev came to know that Shukadev Goswami is going to speak, Vyasadev felt that I should sit in the audience and listen from Shukadev Goswami. This Prabhupada says in one lecture. Prabhupada said, this is like that. So I'm trying to understand what that means. This is because I did not hear it, I read his lecture. So when we again hear about Krishna's greatness, how everything is coming from Krishna, like Krishna's glance, he impregnates material nature. It's so very interesting. Material nature is supta, she is undifferentiated. She is undifferentiated. And the second canto describes that Mahavishnu, when he looks at her, he feels that, oh, here is my wife, she is inactive, or here is my energy, she is also considered to be his potency. I need to wake her up. So he glances at her. And when he glances at her, he impregnates her with all the living entities. Brahma Samhita describes that the glance of Krishna is carried by, of Mahavishnu is carried by his potency Ramadevi. Now she is carrying the glance, she is carrying all of the living entities who are going to be put into the womb of material nature. So she serves Krishna, she serves Mahavishnu by keeping him separate from material energy and still carrying his glance. So she does that task. So that Krishna doesn't directly come in touch with material nature. Now, when that glance touches, so the glance has living entities in it. And when that glance touches material nature, what Ramadevi is also carrying along with the glance is the time factor. Kala. So when the glance touches material nature, this element of time is also brought there, but as of yet, everything is separate. At that moment, Lord Shiva, Shambhu, manifests. And now when Shambhu manifests, then by the influence of time, he interacts with Pradhan, and this influence of time now makes Pradhan wear three dresses, the Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So it's a Tiranga there. Now if the Kal factor was not there, even Lord Shiva couldn't have done anything. This purport, Srila Prabhupada says something very interesting about Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma in the second canto. Yes. The research scholar finds out the cause and the effect of everything. But research scholars as great as Brahma and Shiva, Indra and many other demigods are sometimes bewildered by seeing the wonderful creative energy of the Lord. So here Brahma, Shiva are compared to research scholars. Indra and the demigods also. And then Srila Prabhupada says, and with such high brain power, even Brahmaji is described in his great Samhita as follows, Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. So this glance of Krishna impregnates material nature. Difficult to understand. Prabhupada many times to make us understand how Krishna can do it, to make us understand the philosophy he will quote from the Brahma Samhita, Angani Yasi Sakalendri, that one of his senses Krishna can perform the action of other senses. Like when you offer food to Krishna, Krishna accepts it with his eyes, through his eyes. So this is philosophical understanding. But then in the 10th canto, we find a more practical understanding, practical in the sense that which we can, oh, okay, now I can see, I can actually visualize this. Because visualizing Krishna accepting bhoga is difficult for the material mind. Therefore it has to be with faith. So in the 10th canto you find Krishna moving around the streets of Mathura and he comes up to a washerman and he says, oh, you have nice clothes, can you give me the clothes? These are King Kansa's clothes and you coward men, you do not even understand what is your level, you are asking for the clothes of the king. And he went on and on and on. And the next thing is Krishna just, with his hand, he touched his neck. In one of the commentaries, the acharyas say, Krishna's hand turned into a sword. And with a sword, he chopped off the neck of the washerman. So now, oh, okay, the hand can turn into a sword. This becomes visually understandable. Now, because this is visually understandable, these pastimes appear to be more relevant. But Krishna glancing and impregnating material nature, because that is visually not understood, if it becomes difficult to hold that thought within our consciousness. So Prabhupada in this purport he says, second canto, fourth chapter, sixth verse, he says, the process of creation is an important question for those who are inquisitive. Everyone should be inquisitive. There was a king who once told all of his, he got this elephant. He was very attached to the elephant, rare elephant, some white elephant or something. So he told anyone that if anyone brings me the news about the death of his elephant, I'll have him executed. 3 days along the, you know, somehow or the other, the elephant died. Now who would give the news to the king? So everyone is fearful. No one is bringing news to the king. But the king is inquisitive about his elephant. So then he finally asks the question. So everyone passes the buck to somebody else. Oh, the head servant knows it. Oh, somebody else knows it. Oh, the minister knows. So finally it comes to the minister. And the minister can't pass the buck to anyone else. The minister cannot say the king knows it. So the minister now has to. So he says, my dear king, everything is well. But when you touch the chest of the elephant, you do not find it expanding and contracting. What else? And when you try to put some food in the mouth of the elephant does not accept it. What else? And there are so many flies that are flying around the eyes of the elephant and the elephant is not blinking. And the king becomes concerned. Is there anything else? And when you try to see the movement of the heart, you cannot auscultate the heart, you cannot hear anything. You cannot hear the heartbeat. You fool! The elephant is dead! So minister said, we did not say it. We did not say it. You said it. The point is that we are so fearful of the influence of material nature and Maya that we will not want to be inquisitive about material nature at all. But if you are not inquisitive about material nature, we will never understand the power of material nature. And if we do not understand the power of material nature, we will not understand the powerful Krishna. And if you do not understand Krishna properly, Srila Prabhupada says, then we'll consider Krishna to be less powerful. And if we accept Krishna to be less powerful, then we'll try to imagine that, oh, maybe lifting of the Govardhan hill was something this way and that way. One devotee was explaining that in Bhagavad Gita, the 9th chapter, 10th verse, where Krishna explains that how Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, he directs the moving of, he directs the all living and non-living entities. So one devotee recently, he was telling me that coming from the Western educational background, it becomes difficult to really accept non-moving things as living, you know, as having the Paramatma in it, or to accept trees and plants, or even animals to have a soul, and to treat them as those as another species of life. So he was saying that I would always wonder that how does Krishna direct all moving and non-moving things? And then he said many years later, 30, 40 years later, like in the past decade or so, the concept of organic farming and eco-friendly, you know, things is catching up. So then I also decided that I should also try and do some organic farming, you know, in the little vegetable patch that he has in his backyard. And when he started doing that and he read about it, he was amazed at how much a soil has in terms of bacteria, in terms of worms, and how a plant is dependent on it, and how chemical fertilizers affect all of that. They affect the ecology. The chemical fertilizers, they suck up the earth of all its minerals, even much in advance, but like in too much quantity. And all the dependent ecological bacteria and other organisms and worms, they all either die or they leave that place. And the entire place becomes barren. And then when I tried to do anything with the barren land, I saw that nothing would grow there. And he said, after so many years, that practical realization, it helped me understand that how Krishna directs all moving and non-moving things. So now, when I read Krishna's words, now I understand what it means. 2 days ago, Dhanudhar Swami Maharaj was giving a lecture and Bhagavatam class, and he said, I have to admit it frankly that many of the things, because of the conditions, the conditioning of our upbringing and our education, I could not accept it. But I have faith in Prabhupada and Prabhupada's words. And over the years, because of that faith, today, being diligent and going through the process, those things make sense to me, he said. He was making a very beautiful point. He says, faith is essential whether you accept for any knowledge. When you go and accept someone and are ready to hear from that person, faith is important. And because you put faith in that person, therefore authority becomes important. Thus authority and faith are also important in the spiritual circles. Our authority is Krishna, scriptures, and our faith is in sadhu, guru and shastra. In one lecture, one devotee was speaking about, I think, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he said that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying that if we can understand, if we can, from the platform of greatness, we can understand what Srila Prabhupada has contributed. Then we will be able to actually have more dedication towards Srila Prabhupada. And while making his point, he was saying, he was speaking to a Western audience, so he was saying that Yamaraji has written off this planet because this planet has been saved by Srila Prabhupada. And then he quoted Srila Prabhupada's own words that history shall remember this movement for having saved humanity. Unthinkable task. When Srila Prabhupada met his godbrother on the steps right next to his house, Srila Prabhupada was sitting outside and his godbrother was, he was a Sanskrit teacher teaching grammar and Sanskrit. He came down and he says, Prabhu, this quote, Prithvityati Jatanagar Adigram Sarvatra Prachar Hoibeno Morana, how is it possible? What does this mean, Sarvatra and Prithvite? And they, he was thinking that maybe it meant India, things like that. And Srila Prabhupada said that it is the entire world. Now, at that point of time, it was completely an unthinkable task that this was possible, especially when somebody had gone to Germany and UK and had come back with the report that people there are not at all ready for it. And during the course of that discussion, the point was, who will do it? Who will actually fulfill the prophecy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Srila Prabhupada, that time, he replied, not you. He said, not you. Now later on, when he was giving his interview to one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, he said, what that meant was that I will do it, that Srila Prabhupada would do it. So when we understand the greatness, and to understand the greatness, we read, we understand the struggle, we understand the difficulty, we understand the knowledge aspect, then we have more dedication. Therefore, knowledge is strength, especially transcendental knowledge is strength. And what is strength? This is a final point that I would like to state. There are various ways that strength can be understood. One is, strength could mean humility. If you are strong, then under certain circumstances one can be humble. Strength could also mean compassion. If one has strength, then even if one does not get reciprocation, one does not get results, still, the compassion can flow. Strength could also mean tolerance. If you have to tolerate a situation, if you have to tolerate circumstances, then we need strength. There's strength of the body and strength of the mind. I think here, yeah, Srila Prabhupada concludes, or this is a concluding statement of Srila Prabhupada from this purport that I want to read. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, descriptions of the creative energy in the Lord's hand in it are explained, and the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita has warned the neophyte devotees to be seriously on guard against the pitfall of neglecting knowledge about Krishna in regard to how great He is. Only when one knows Lord Krishna's greatness can one firmly put one's unflinching faith in Him. Otherwise, like the common man, even the great leaders of men will mistake Lord Krishna for one of the demigods or a historical personality or a myth only. So, Siddhant boliya na kare chitte alas, iha hite Krishna lage sudrida manas. So, at no point of time should Siddhant be looked upon as a burden. Especially when one is a practitioner. Because when the mind becomes strong in Siddhant, then one can develop unflinching faith in Krishna. So here we find Vasudev ji is going to go through this, and for the few chapters except the next chapter, there's going to be a lot of Siddhant again. Most of it could seem repetitive. It is not at all repetitive. It is a tool of transcendental knowledge that is helpful to have transcendental, to have unflinching faith in Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, especially those described in the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.